Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
The latest tips and equipment to improve your game. The latest from the leaderboards and your favorite courses. This is Golf in the Northwest, an action-packed hour about everything golf. Now, here's your host for Golf in the Northwest, Jason Swigert.
And a fine good morning to you all. I am out of the cage, out of the box, out here, live in God's country, down in Newburgh, on location at Chehalem Glen Golf Course, right here in the shadows of wine country. Are we technically in Yamhill County? Or are we still in Washington? We're in Yamhill County. Kellen Saskin, the head professional here. We'll get into a serious conversation coming up in about 15 minutes. But thank you for having us out this morning. We tried to do this last year. And then a comedic series of events back at 1080 The Fan had me producing my own show due to illness and vacations and whatever else was going on. And so we wanted to say, you know what, our first show we get out this year, we got to come to Chehalem Glen. And Chamber of Commerce, you ordered up a perfect day.
Yes, sir. Happy to be here. We'll blame Joe Fisher for not being able to be here last
year. We blame Joe Fisher for a lot of things. Chehalem Glen with two N's.com is where you can go get all the information. One of the best values of golf here in the Portland metropolitan area, a true public course owned by the public, run by the Parks Department. We'll get into that in a little bit as well. But full tee sheet today. I'm assuming there might be a few twilight tea times available. If you are well hydrated and can handle the heat, you want to check the tee sheet there. And a great value. Twilight rates are fantastic if you don't have anything to do this afternoon. So we will talk more with Kellen coming up seriously about a lot of things that have been in the pipeline here regarding this course, adding to it, enhancing it, those sorts of things. See where they stand. It's not the easiest process as opposed to a private club where you just got to raise money and have members and we vote and there you go. And we can raise your monthly dues or give you an assessment and everything's fine and good. So we'll talk about navigating that process as well as the course itself. It's in fantastic condition. The greens are outstanding. Kellen hosted me out here a week ago. I can tell you a lot about the bunkers on the front nine, too. I visited most of them until I got things going later in the round. Then at 8:30, we're going to go down one of the newer courses in the state of Oregon, Bar Run Golf and RV Park down in Roseburg, was built within the last 5 years on an old mining site. They didn't know what to do to reclaim the land, and so they built this beautiful resort golf course with some RV slips. There's some cottages. So we're going to talk to Chris Risley, who's the head pro down there, and find out all about that. If you're looking for want to go play some golf somewhere new, maybe, but don't want to take off on the other side of the country, want to have a modest budget, down in Roseburg, they've got something there. We'll look ahead. We'll do a little bit of preview to the Open Championship next weekend at Royal Portrush. We'll look back at the 2019. How similar is it? What are the big storylines going in? We'll check the latest odds at DraftKings. If you have a couple of extra shekels, you're looking to make it more interesting. And do all of that. But so we have plenty of time for Kellen. Let's do what we do to start these shows and go inside the ropes.
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards, the latest on all tours, plus local golf events and golf news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of Golf in the Northwest.
All right, we got five events on four tours. It is a busy weekend all across the way. We have one major going on as well. But the Champions Tour playing one of the longest running events on the PGA Champions Tour. It is the Dix Open at Enjoy Golf Course in Endicott, New York. Just a typical three-round event. Steve Allen at 9 under par. A low round of his PGA Champions career, a bogey-free 63 at 9 under to have a two-shot lead, looking for his first-ever win on the Champions Tour. The Korn Ferry Tour playing event number 17 out of 26. They are in Colorado, TPC Colorado, for the Ascendant. And playing over 8,000 yards, as you would imagine, at altitude. They had to finish up the second round this morning. They had delays, thunderstorms, as you find in that part of the country this time of year, and gusty winds. Tom Whitney is your leader, back-to-back five under 67s for 10 under. And he is looking for his first ever Korn Ferry Tour victory, coming in 76th on the points list at 36 years old. And he got started professionally a little bit later. He's just the second ever graduate of the United States Air Force Academy to become PGA Tour, get membership on the PGA Tour. Kyle Westmoreland did it in 2022. So after he graduated, he could have played himself onto the Korn Ferry Tour or the America's Tours, but fulfilled his four-year service requirement and then turned to professional golf in 2014. So a great story there, looking to get his first win. If he does, he would vault into the top 20 and be in position to get a tour card. Our favorite local player, Alistair Dougherty, from Vancouver, bounced back after a poor first round. He shot a 6-under-66 today. He is at 3-under-par, will make the cut, tied for 39th. He's 46th on the points list. He had a nice start to the season, but has struggled a little bit of late. But if he can get a hot putter going as they are finishing up the second round, and it'll be nice, he can get right back out there. He's got some good feels, a 6-under-66. And as we take a look at his scorecard, bogey-free. We know he can bomb it, take advantage of the altitude out there. He's taken advantage of the par fives, birdied three of them out there. And so if he can put that formula to use here in the third round, might play his way into the top 10, see if he can move up the points list as we continue to follow his progress towards the PGA Tour and making it there. The PGA Tour has a shoulder event for those that aren't over across the pond at the Scottish Open. It is the ISCO Championship, playing the Hurst Born Country Club in Louisville, Kentucky. Just over 7,000 yards, a par 70, a little shorter course. Tight course in amongst the neighborhood there. Chan Kim, 35 years old, looking for his first PGA tournament victory. He finished fifth this year at the Valero Texas Open. That his highest finish on tour. He's got a five-shot lead over Vince Whaley. Chris Ventura, Thomas Rosenmuller, and others tied at 6-under-par. And so we'll see if Chan Kim is able to go deep. They will tee off a little bit later this morning. You've got coverage on Golf Channel starting at 2 o'clock this afternoon. We've mentioned there is a major going on this morning, and it is across the pond in France, the Evian Amundi Championships, the fourth major of the season on the LPGA Tour. Gabriella Ruffles of Australia and Kara Gaynor, who plays on the Ladies European Tour, they are tied 11 under. Gaynor with a 7 under 64, vaulting up the leaderboard. There is a logjam at 10 under par. Gino Titicun, the number 2 ranked player in the world, a 4 under 67 today to get into contention. But everybody will be keeping their eyes on Minji Lee, the Australian who won the last major just a few weeks ago at the women's LPGA event down at Frisco, Texas. An extremely difficult course in extremely difficult conditions, and she was able to prevail there, holding her own. I think the only player to finish under par or at par, if memory serves. But the most majors won in the field belong to Minji Lee, and so she is there at 10 under, but it's a fairly packed leaderboard. with Grace Kim, Somi Lee, also at 10 under par. You've got a lot of players within four shots of the lead, 15, 16 players. So Leona Maguire is there in the mix at 7 under as well. So should be a fun time. Nelly Korda, unfortunately, a tough round three this morning. They wrapped up round three, 4 over par, just at minus one. So a lot of work left there. As for the guys that you are going to be seeing next week in the Open Championship at Royal Portrush, most of them are over at the Renaissance Club for the Genesis Scottish Open. And an interesting leaderboard, Chris Goddard, 11 under par, has just started his round. He's got a two-shot lead. Wyndham Clark, the former Duck, has there. He's got it going 4 under through 10 this morning, tied with Kevin Yu at 9 under par. Jake Knapp is in the mix at 8 under par. He's been one of the more entertaining stories in the last couple of years. Rory McIlroy at 8 under par. He will be the local favorite. And we're waiting for him after he got that Masters win, got the career Grand Slam. He had put so much time and effort for a decade to get that done and accomplish it. And we see this sometimes. You get to you put all your effort into the achievement, and then you get there, and there's no kind of plan after. There's such a release of excitement, of, you know, just all of the time and effort and emotion it took to get that and reach it. You kind of don't know what to do with yourselves for a little bit. The motivation, you got to find something else than the next mountain to climb to get the motivation that it takes to get back and the focus. I mean, when you've accomplished everything that he has, when you are financially set in the way that he is, when you are tired of the same questions, and he's had his stuff with the media, I think it's overblown to a certain extent. I think the media doesn't fully appreciate Rory the way they should, because he'll actually give you honest answers. And because he thinks, and because maybe it's raw and clunky at times and doesn't necessarily fit into a quote, the media sometimes doesn't know how to react to it. And in the sports media that I've been a part of for 20 years, we don't appreciate the honesty when we get it, even though we crave it, because it's so shocking. We're so conditioned to the cliches and the answers. And so when we get it, we're almost stunned. And this comes back to a lot of the media as well, and understanding how to process it. The media is just as reactionary when we get that crazy quote or the true honesty, and we get it out there and it goes viral in social media now, that it's hard to give it context. And it's too bad, and it's not going to go backwards. But hopefully, being at home in Northern Ireland, being able to play a course he's so familiar with, you hope that he's had a little bit of time now to let everything just pass and find some joy in this. And if he can find some joy, and we'll check the weather report, who knows. But last year, or the last time it was there in 2019, Shane Lowry kind of ran away from the field to win. And we'll see when the pairings come out. He might be paired with Lowry, which would be a very comfortable, easy pairing for him. He's going to have the largest galleries no matter what. But it'll be interesting to see how he gets off to a start. If he gets off to a good start and gets it rolling and has the crowd behind him, then look out. Then it's up to Mother Nature to see if they can rein it in. The other story to watch, and we'll get more into this, Keegan Bradley, the U.S. Ryder Cup captain, is, I think, he's eighth or ninth in the points list after he got that win at the Travelers. If he has if he wins the thing, then he's going to qualify automatically. If he has like a top 10 finish, then he's going to be very, very close. If he finishes seventh or eighth, just outside the automatic qualifier, it's going to be interesting to see, because I think after the second round of the FedEx Cup playoffs is when the Ryder Cup points are set. They determine the six, and then it's up to him. I think at the Tour Championship, or right after the Tour Championship, he announces his captain's picks. So that's an ongoing story as well. That's what's going on around the professional world of golf. When we come back here, Kellen Saskin is here, the head pro, Chehalem Glen. We are on location. I sent out a tweet earlier this morning. Gorgeous view right off the T1 box. Don't look at the tree or the bunker to the left. Just ignore it. Just stripe it, an elevated tee shot, and you are off and on your way. We'll talk about the course out here and some of the things that might be coming sooner or later here to further enhance the experience. Glad we are out here. Glad you are with us. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hitting them straight for 12 years. This is Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Jason Swigart back here live on location, Chehalem Glen Golf Course. We're in the shadow of the big Providence Hospital that's right off Highway 99. As you're driving south, if you're heading to Wine Country, come early or get an afternoon twilight tea time on your way back. Hopefully you haven't sampled too much wine. Bring your clubs. My nephew plays for Linfield football, so I think I'm going to try to dial up a game, maybe get an early tee time here. 1 o'clock kickoff down in McMinnville. Should work out perfectly. But Kellen Saskin is the head professional here, PGA professional member for quite some time. You've been here, what'd you tell me, 7, 8 years you've been here now?
Yes, almost 8 years.
And then you were at Tualatin Country Club before that, and a number of the professionals that we've talked to at the courses in the area have spent some time at Tualatin Country Club there. But going, and it's always fascinating to me, going from the private golf club membership, a very traditional country club in Tualatin Country Club, been around for a long, long, long time, to a public facility that is run by a public entity. How much shock adjustment did you have to go through in maybe your first year to understand how things worked here at Chehalem Glen?
Yes, very different. Going from a private club where you're dealing with 350, 400 members to going to a public course where you're dealing with different people every single day is quite the shocker for sure. But it's been fun.
And the course itself here, for people that haven't found it yet, one, what are you doing? But two, right here, it's just a little bit of a valley. I'm guessing there was a river or a creek that used to run through these areas that now, because you're constantly playing over kind of ravines and stuff. The front nine, I think driving, a little bit more challenging, a little bit more narrow. And then the back nine across the street, you've got some scoring holes where you can grip it and rip it in a little bit more forgiving fairways.
Yeah, we got ravines to cross for sure. 1, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14. A lot of ravines, but if you can hit the ball 150 yards in the air fairly straight, you should be good off the tee and then take it from there.
There you go. Now, is there a signature hole that you think if you want to, you know, get a picture or you're going to put something up in a brochure or pamphlet or a social media tweet, what hole do you think you want to get the picture on?
You know, number five is a pretty cool hole, par three, fairly lengthy, again, over a ravine, but it's a pretty spectacular hole. It's a tough hole too.
Very tough hole. It's a shallow, narrow, wide green over the ravine. And then an uphill approach. So you gotta clear the stuff. Makes you club up. I learned that lesson. Club up one more than you think. And it was a little breezy the day we were out here. And that's the biggest challenge, I think. But this course serves, you guys handle a lot of play of local high schools. And is George Fox still play here? Is this...
Yes.
Their course. So I know you guys, and part of being a public course is being available for high schools and the local college, those sorts of things. And so you can stretch it out to 68, almost 6,900 yards for some of those top young amateur players.
Yes, absolutely. Very tough from the tips. Course record out here is 65 from the black tees. So quite the challenge.
What's your best score out here?
Oh, man. I think I've broken par once, probably. That's about it.
Kellen Saskin is our guest. Shehalem Glenn, GLENN.com. Everything is up there. And we've talked before. I know there's been all sorts of discussion and plans about a big, giant clubhouse. You guys have the huge tent across the way for events, a great venue for tournaments, and the staff does a great job setting things up with KPs and long drives and all of those things. But there has been long discussion about a new, big, you know, clubhouse that can hold the events and the banquet rooms and those sorts of things. Where do things stand? Is it still just a concept, or is there an action plan now that's looking to take a second step?
Yeah, over the last year, we've started to get a little bit more serious about it. So we're about to put an RFP out for a feasibility study to see exactly what kind of clubhouse will be right for us. So we're getting close.
How much more, you know, you look kind of to the left from where we are, back towards the highway, there's kind of an open field. How much more land is on the footprint here that could be used, public land, obviously parks land, that you have to be able to develop, or would land acquisition have to be a part of it?
Land acquisition would not be a part of it, because out on the back nine side, back behind number 10 and 12 greens, that's all land already owned by Shehalem Park and Recreation District. So if a third nine is to come to fruition here in the next few years, that is where it would be. And we do have all the land we need to make that happen.
Well, as is the challenge with any public entity, the funding of such things is the biggest piece of it. Once you get all the parties to buy off on the plan to do it, so Parks and Rec, and is now Shehalem Glen a specific its own Parks and Rec division, or is it part of the county, or?
It is. It's its own entity, Shehalem Park and Recreation District. Yep.
And how do they get there? Is it property taxes within the district? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So we do have in district rates at the golf course. So if you're a resident of Shehalem Park and Recreation District, you do get a break on your greens fees, and then we have non-resident rates for those that are outside of the district.
That would be fun. We're talking with Kellen Saskin here, Shehalem Glen Golf Course, the head PGA professional out here. The course itself is in excellent. The greens were immaculate. I was surprised, as dry as we have been. Now, we're going to get a heat wave here in the next few weeks, the first true blast of heat. We'll see. But as receptive as the greens are, that's been... I know a lot of courses at this point, because it's been so dry, they've kind of let them get firm and fast, and it's hard to hold approach shots, especially longer approach shots. But is that something, you know, the greens committee out here has really, you can still fire at some pins.
Yeah. Love being able to spin a ball back a little bit.
It's nice to know I can get some spin on a ball that I'm okay. Every once in a while, I can flush it and get it right in the grooves.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it.
Tournaments, if you're looking to do a group event out here, that is something that you guys do. Obviously, at this point in the calendar, maybe filling up if you want a prime spot for something in the summer. But I've always maintained September, October are amongst the prime golfing times here in the Portland area. But what all is involved with that? How far out in advance do you need to try to plan for something like that for a group?
Yeah, we've got a good number of good local events out here supporting the community. But yes, I would say you get into, well, May and June are great times for events if you're looking forward to 2026.
Yeah.
And as well, October. We still get a lot of great weather and have some available dates there as well.
Fantastic. And I know, you know, that's the other thing, public courses, obviously they're looking at, you know, costs. And so you have several hats that you wear here. I know you've got a great supportive staff as well, but you guys are kind of learn how to do everything here. So obviously giving you guys some advanced time to plan for things is key. So you talked about a third nine possibly in the works. Would it be kind of its own separate nine, or would it blend in? Would there be a major 18, or would it just be if you want to play 18, you're just picking the two nines you want to play? Have you given much thought to it, or you haven't worried about that until they actually say they're going to build it?
Yeah, we're still waiting to see. I couldn't say anything for certain at this point. I could see it being, you know, three nines and it being you play these two nine-hole tracks for an 18-hole course that day.
Gotcha. And then do you know who the architect was who designed this original course layout?
Yeah, Bill Robinson.
Okay.
Same as OGA.
Gotcha. And so would the plan be for that group to come back, or would you look to possibly do something different?
He has since passed after designing this golf course. Mm-hmm. We have actually talked to an architect, John Stidell, and he did create some plans for us. So, yeah.
And to blend in kind of a very similar nature, or is there thoughts of maybe doing something slightly different to make it unique in its own?
It will be unique in its own from the 18 holes that we have. We did work pretty hard. I was part of that process a little bit where we made sure that there were tee boxes that didn't have any carries, forced carries, like we do have currently, just to make the tee shot a little bit friendlier for those that have trouble off the tee.
No question. And then going along there, obviously instruction available here with you and some of your other pros for families. And one of the great things, if you have not been down here, one of the best features, if you truly want to improve your game, and I wish I lived a lot closer, quite frankly, because I would be down there all the time. But tell everybody about the short practice area that you guys have. It's just kind of down the hill on the road around the corner.
Yeah, it's a par four away from the clubhouse, maybe a par five away from the clubhouse. And we got a great practice green down there, bunker. You can hit shots up to about 80 yards, which is really cool. Love taking my lessons down there for a short game lesson. Pretty much every single lesson I have, they say, man, I've never been down here before. I got to come practice here.
Oh, no question. For people that are, you know, that's where your scoring happens. I mean, you hit it as far as you can hit it, especially somebody my age at this point, and I've played enough golf where, okay, I've got, you know, if I make a good swing, I've got maybe 220, 225. That's all I got in the bag. Nothing I can do about it at this point, unless I go to the gym and work out and want to do that, and I'm 53 and I'm not.
No.
But scoring, being able to take shots from 125 in, 150 in, where you can start to really dial in control of the golf ball, the spin, being able for, you know, bogey golfers to be able to create it so you can control the ball so you're hitting flush shots. What's the best way to go about, if you were trying to design your own sort of practice thing, figuring out? I think the biggest thing is club selection and then how hard to swing. How much do I give it? 80%? Do I three-quarter it? Do I grab something and want to swing a full swing from like 80, 85 yards in?
Yeah, I see so many of my students, I ask them, what are you going to hit? What are you going to hit for this shot? You're 10 yards off the green, and they go grab their 60-degree wedge. It's like, nope, slow down. Let's take a look at this. Let's keep the ball as low as we can. Let's get it on the green, and two putt or better. And that's where you really start gaining strokes.
And it's just a matter of grabbing a pitching wedge or a gap wedge or something like that, and then more like a putting stroke and you just got to go out. That's one where you've got to hit shots because it is more of a feel sort of thing. How hard your grip pressure is, how much, you know, you're really hitting at the ball versus just running the club into the ball.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, when you grab that 60-degree wedge and lift it high above your head, you're creating a whole bunch of speed with your wrists, and that's just anything can happen at that point. Whereas you take a pitching wedge and you keep it nice and low and keep that club low, your speed is very controlled. Even if you don't catch it perfect, you're still going to have pretty close to the right speed coming through and get the ball on the green at least, and hopefully fairly close to the hole.
Well, as we mentioned, the rates so reasonable for a course in a facility that is as all-inclusive as Chehalem Glen is. You guys also have some deals. You have some. You have an annual pass. If you know you're looking versus, you know, trying to spend money to be a part of a, you know, country club or a private club, you know, it's an investment, but if you're going to play regularly, you do the math, it's going to work out that way. You've got some punch range cards, too. What are some of the great values for people to take advantage of?
Yeah, driving range, great spot to be. We have punch cards for that, for small, medium, large buckets. But the annual pass, absolutely a steal, I would say.
Are those limited?
They are limited just on weekends after 10 o'clock for our annual pass holders. But, man, you could play
I know
a lot
those,
of golf at a great rate.
Yeah, the start. So now the annual, I think it was May 1st is when that. So if somebody wanted to get one now, is it prorated to come around? Okay.
Yep. Once we hit July, we prorate our annual pass.
How does it work? How does it play in the winter drainage? Like, if you want to come out, you know, kind of November, December, January sometimes. Obviously, if it's snowing, it's not going to fly. But yeah. But how's the drainage in the winter?
Yeah, if you're hitting the fairway, you are totally fine. Just like everywhere around here, the roughs tend to get a little bit soggy. But tees, fairways, greens, all great in the winter. If it's sunny, we have a lot of play still.
Fantastic. Kellen Saskin, the head PGA professional here at Chehalem Glen. Thank you so much for having us out. Thanks for having me out to play the other week. And I am sure once my schedule lightens up, I'll be out probably a lot in September and October. We'll come take advantage of things. So appreciate it very much. Again, Chehalem Glen, GLENN.com. All the information if you're interested in instruction. Oh, we didn't even mention the putting course that's over by the driving range. A nice little well-designed putting course. And it's just $5. So if you want to bring the kids out and kind of introduce them to the game, gorgeous over there to get involved in as well. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on. Thanks for coming out.
Oh, my pleasure. We'll turn you loose. Let you get back. I know you got a full tee sheet and all sorts of stuff going on. When we come back, Chris Risley, who's the PGA professional down at Bar Run Golf and RV Resort, a newer course and property down in Roseburg. We'll find out all about that as we make the turn here. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Which new driver is best for your game? Who makes the best golf gear? Where should you take your next golf vacation? Which local course should you get to know better? This is the Business of Golf, every week on Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Jason Swigard here at Chehalem Glen Golf Course in Newburgh. Thanks to Kellen Saskin for sitting down with us and all sorts of things in the works to try to expand this great, great public facility here on the edge of wine country. But now we're going to go down South I-5 a few hours, about 3 hours down south to Bar Run Golf and RV Resort. Chris Risley is the head golf professional down there. This unique property, Dominic sent me some information, said we were going to have Chris on the show here, who has been the professional down there after being the assistant pro at Roseburg Country Club for a while. But reclaimed mining land down there, didn't know what to do with it. And so all of a sudden, this gorgeous golf course and RV resort comes up about 3 or 4 years ago. And Chris joins us now. Welcome this morning. Thanks so much for hopping on. Just tell everybody, what was it about this place? When did you find out about it? And what drew you to want to head over and be the head professional there?
Well, thanks for having me. I started back in 2021 is when we opened. And shortly before that's when I found out about it, working with the family, the Guido family. There's this great, great family, great, nice to work for a family owned business, local people here. And it's just a great, great, great opportunity.
Well, and this is when you get to build a golf course from scratch, as opposed to we see most of what's going on with construction right now is kind of redevelopment and a lot of architects coming in trying to bring courses back to the original designer's idea some, you know, 50, 75, 100 years ago. But when you have a clear, clean patch of land that you can go with, how well did the architects do, and what sort of course is this like for people?
You know, yeah, absolutely. I think we're more of a almost like a link style, more like a rolling river, because we're kind of on the South Umpqua River. Kind of have some aspects where it's kind of like going through waves and things of that nature. It's fairly open. We do have some trees in some areas, but it is pretty neat how they're able just to take this big, barren, flat piece of land and put a lot of undulation in it and really make it a very good, challenging course.
Well, I would imagine then conditions, a wind being open and down there in the Rogue River Valley, Umpqua River Valley, wind will be a big protector of the course. But the nice thing, it's a true resort course because it's not absurdly long. And as you are having and really welcome for families with either kids or maybe family members that don't play golf on a regular basis, as you say, it's wide open. So it's inviting to them. They don't feel like it's going to be a frustrating long 3 or 4 hours.
No, absolutely correct. I mean, it is. I mean, we do have some trees in there, but for the most part, it is. I mean, we got like super Walmart wide size fairways in some of it. And we're, we are pretty open. I mean, we do have 6 par 3s, which makes us, you know, in 3, 4 par 5s. So we're par 70, which, I mean, in the afternoon wind, you know, we have a 189 on hole 15 on a par 3, which, in the afternoon wind, into the wind, it's more like you're hitting like plays like 225.
Yeah, I'm grabbing the driver at that point, maybe a 3-wood to get it out there. But we see the pros do that when we might see them do that at the Open Championship next week at Royal Port Rudge. Chris Risley is our guest. A little bit of background about Chris. As I was doing some research, you thank you for your service, a long time in the United States Air Force. When did you decide to make the transition into becoming a PGA professional with golf during your time in the Air Force?
Well, I kind of grew up. I grew up in this local area and started playing golf when I was 8. I always wanted to do something in the golf industry. And then about halfway through doing my time in the Air Force, I was like, might as well, you know? So I did that, and it's been doing that ever since.
For people that, you know, we are still feeling the boon that the golf industry got from COVID as one of the only activities that you could do that was still social and still managed to fit into what the country was going through at that time. And the, you know, they haven't really seen a fall off. And so a lot of people who always loved golf and maybe, you know, what for whatever reason, decided a career change going through that PGA certification process. How would you describe it when you did it? You know, what do you need to be prepared for? But I know as the game grows, as more people want to play, more people want to learn, more facilities are expanding, the need for PGA professionals continues to grow as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's just like any program process you go through. I mean, just a long certification process that you have to do. It's worth it in the end if you want to make this a long-time career.
And I know a lot of people are concerned, do I have to be a scratch golfer? Obviously, you need to develop, you have to have some skill in there to be able to instruct. But, and there are other avenues as well. There's a merchandising avenue, as well as if you want to go into the superintendent, if you're more into, that's a different route as well. But you know, you just have to have a passion for it. You do need to put some diligence and time into some skill, but you don't have to be an absolute scratch golfer in order to get that PGA certification.
No, it does help. I mean, there is, you have to take a PAT test to do that, just player's ability test. I mean, they recommend, what is it, 3 handicap, 3 to 5 handicap, yeah, to go do that. But it's very, absolutely very doomy. You do not have to be a scratch golfer or plus handicap to go do it. Being able to show some skill.
Exactly. Chris Risley is our guest. Bar Run down there in the Roseburg area. What? How is the golf scene down there? For a lot of people, you know, wanting to have kind of a golf vacation, we know golf travel has taken off as well. So being able to be in an area where there's a cluster of facilities, how is the golf scene like down there, Roseburg, you know, Medford, Klamath Falls? We know Running Y has been there for quite some time, but is it, and then Bandon, you're not that far away from Bandon, so it's a great golf area.
No, absolutely. We found that since we've opened, a lot of out of town guests would fly into Eugene, play Eugene Country Club or someplace in Eugene, and then go over to Bandon. Now we have a great relationship with the caddies, Bandon caddies. So now they're getting a lot of their longtime customers are coming in. They're recommending us or either playing us on the way in or the way out of their Bandon trip. We get a lot of from people flying in from up north, and then people coming up from California as well. It's pretty awesome. We're right in that good little spot in between.
You are. And the great thing, you hear RV resorts, but you don't need an RV because you guys did. And I was looking on the website. My buddies and I, we're going to come down. But you also created several, five, six, you call them cottages, but think tiny house if you've seen Tiny House Nation there. So you don't have to have an RV necessarily. There are some cottages where you can go stay and play. And you've got the Lazy River. There's a little bar there for you as well. But most of the cottages have kitchen facilities as well. So you can go down, make a weekend out of it, play a couple of rounds at Bar Run. But if there's one day you want to head to Bandon or you want to head somewhere else, it would be a great weekend.
No, absolutely. We got to... That's exactly. They're tiny homes, is what they're technically called, but we like to call them cottages. But they're pretty cool. We also have a golf house, Airbnb house, suites 10 with an indoor pool just outside of our property. Actually, to come on our property, you got to pass it from there. And in fact, you know, you get a good big group of guys will actually give you golf carts, and you can just drive them there and just operate out of there. It's pretty neat.
For people, it'd also be a great thing maybe for Duck fans starting to plan weekends going down to Autzen. It's not that far of a drive back up, or maybe you extend your stay if they've got one of the early Saturday afternoon games. Take a Monday off, and then you can head down after the game. What's the best way to put a package? Are there special like golf stay and play packages? What's the best way to arrange like a weekend, somebody coming down from the Portland area?
So we have a couple options. I mean, so if you want to just stay on the property here, not the golf house, but there, you just book your times there with go on the website, book that. We can book tee times right on this at the same time. Get you square away with that. Golf house is a little bit different. That's on the Airbnb side. Book that there and just give us a call, and we will get you all squared away for the tee times.
There you go. The rates, just the rates for people that just to have something in their mind. And when do we go from the summer peak rates to kind of the shoulder rates?
So we do that in October. We shift in there. Think it's 1 October we go to the shoulder season.
Gotcha.
So, and right now our summer rates are 105 to include card on the weekend, and 85 during the weekday.
Fantastic. And then, and you guys also have full practice facilities there as well for people?
Yep. We have our range just opened up last November. Full range with that. Working on a good chipping short game area down there as well. But right now we do have the range, and we have our putting green. We could chip around on that.
I love, you know, that it's family owned, and you mentioned that because it allows for the decision making process to be fairly tight, but you can decide to do things on a quick basis if you feel like it's the right thing to do. Are there plans? I don't know how much more land is involved all right where you are. Are there plans for further expansion down the road, or everything's good right now and you're just trying to get the most and make sure what you're doing, you do it as well as you can?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I mean, we do want to do everything we do. I mean, it goes through that fine eye of, is it good? Is it the best quality thing that we can do for our customers, and just a good product at a fair price? But we do are planning to build, like I say, expand a practice facility for us, a good short game, very robust short game facility, and another putting and chipping green down at the range. For that, that's there are biggest things on the building docket right now.
Gotcha. How far deep into the fall slash winter? What's it like? I'm not totally familiar with the climate there, but is it year round or do you have to shut it down for weather in December, January, February?
No, we're pretty fortunate. We're open every day of the year except for Thanksgiving and Christmas. The only 2 days we close. Now we get some, every now and then we'll get a little bit of snow on the valley floor, you know, an inch or two. That typically burns off in a day or day and a half, and we're right back at it.
But
we'll have frost delays, but yeah.
But you guys are fairly, you're much drier climate than we are up here in the Willamette Valley, correct?
Correct.
Perfect. Chris Risley, the head professional down at Bar Run Golf and RV Park. BarRunGolf.com is where you want to go. They've got easy links to book a tee time, to book a reservation. Check out the cottages. Those things look fantastic. And yeah, I think if my buddies, we'll have to look at doing that, setting up a little weekend down there in the the Umpqua and Rogue Valley, as I get my rivers mixed up here. But it looks like a great facility, and can't wait to come down and check it out.
We look forward to having you.
There you go. Thanks so much, Chris. Have a great time.
You as well. Thank you.
There you go, Chris Risley, Bar Run Golf and RV Park. And as he said, it's just five years old, but they've already won awards for best new facilities. And boy, we talked with Mallard Creek Golf and RV Park in Lebanon a couple of weeks ago. There are starting to be, and I think that's you know, something. Usually, a lot in the old RV, they said they had a golf course, but it was just kind of a pitch and putt sort of thing. Or you are starting to see more and more big time golf facilities, especially in areas that aren't around metropolitan areas, because people want to come and stay. But if the lodging becomes too expensive, you can only limit that. But that RV golf lifestyle starting to become bigger and better courses, much more well-maintained facilities, full-service facilities as well. BarRunGolf.com, where you want to go. We'll come back and look ahead to next week. The Open Championship Royal Portrush. They are hosting 6 years from their last Open Championship. Shane Lowry won. Try to get a feel of who might be in contention. There, we'll take another quick look at the leaderboard at the Scottish Open, see who is hot going into that, as well as we wrap things up on another edition of Golf in the Northwest, live from Chehalem Glen Golf Course here in Newburgh on 1080 The Fan.
Hitting them straight for 12 years. This is Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Jason Swigart back here, wrapping things up on another edition of Golf in the Northwest. We are live here at Chehalem Glen Golf Course in Newburgh, right in the entryway to wine country down here in Yamhill Valley, on your way to McMinnville and Dundee and Amity and Carlton and all the great wineries. That's the way I would do it. I would get early tee time, 7:15-ish. That way you're done right around, hopefully, 11:15, 11:30. And then you can head off to your favorite wineries not very far away. It's a full day. Kellen Saskin sitting back here with me. Chehalem Glen with 2ends.com. Book a tee time, as we mentioned, one of the best values here in the Portland metropolitan area. A true publicly maintained facility, but all the amenities that you would want. We talked about the great short practice area as well that you can go to after your round. So after you've duffed a bunch of chips or you found yourself in way too many bunkers, and it's like, all right, I got to figure out how to get out of this thing the first time. you can head right over, get a small bucket, and start to work those things out. The Open Championship is set up for next week. That will be where all of golf attention will focus on. Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. They are back after playing in 2019. Shane Lowry won in his home country back then at minus 15. Tommy Fleetwood second at 9-under, Tony Finau at 7-under, and then you had Brooks Koepka, Lee Westwood, Ricky Fowler was at 5-under, tied for 6 with Tyrrell Hatton, Danny Willett, Robert McIntyre. Robert McIntyre, a name to watch. He is much more comfortable now. He's been at the top of leaderboards several times. The young Scott, that will be interesting to see. Shane Lowry will love it there, so really a matter for Shane is if he can just hit it straight off the tee. And put himself in position, he will find his way around. We'll see. I need to check a weather report to see what it might be up there. You never know. So next week, it looks like they're going to get the full treatment. Rain in the 60s all weekend long is what they are looking at. And so the question then will be the wind, because I think most professional golfers, they'll say, if I get some, rain, as long as I can keep everything dry, as long as it's not a torrential downpour, they like that because they can go hunting at flags, but you're not going to get much, care, or you're not going to get much roll on the drives there. But it's been... This weekend, it's gorgeous out there, so it's been fairly dry, I think, in the summer across the pond. Did you find wind? If the wind is consistent and they understand where it's coming from, they can adjust to it. But rain and wind is the ultimate nasty. I mean, at that point, it's just survival mode, is it not?
Yeah. One or the other, totally fine. If you get both, it's rough.
Is there one that you prefer over the other?
I think it depends.
Or the one that you can manage better than the other, I should say. Nobody prefers it.
Yeah, I think managing rain is a little bit easier. If you grew up in Texas or if you grew up over in Europe playing in the wind all the time, you certainly learn to play in it. And that's why those Europeans typically do well when the Open Championship comes up. But yeah, I would say for most of us, give us some rain. And if you're prepared for it, you can handle it pretty well.
Yeah, if it's just showers or, drizzle or that mist or whatever, we'll see. Hopefully there's not a ton of fog because you don't want to delay the Open Championship, the one major where it is everybody off the first tee. You play the 18 in order in true Link style because you're still up there where they have enough daylight to get it done. They just don't want a fog delay so they can get everybody off and rolling. Do you have a favorite, when you're watching, when you have, 15 minutes in your day to sit there and watch a little bit of the tour, do you have a favorite golfer or somebody that whose style you appreciate and maybe resembles how you play?
Oh, man, I don't know about resembles how I play, but you got to love McIlroy, Lowry, even Fleetwood playing well last year. I would go to a guy who's playing well this year. He's won a couple times, and that's Ryan Fox. He was tied 16th at Royal Portrush back in 2019. I think he's a guy that you can get some pretty good odds on that I think he's going to play well.
And then, so the question will be is, of the American players, Wyndham Clark, we know he's had he's been wound a little tight of late, and but he's playing well. He's got it up there tied for the lead right now. At 10 under par, as we look at some of the latest odds coming in. Scottie Scheffler, in no big shock, is there as your leader, plus 450. Rory McIlroy at plus 700. Bryson is there at 1,800, plus 1,800. Tommy Fleetwood, plus 2,500. Ludvig Åberg, he's got up to the leaderboard here as well. Shane Lowry at plus 3,000 along with Robert McIntyre. Robert McIntyre at plus 3,000 might not be a bad wager. We see the popular names. Let me see if I can find your boy, Ryan Fox. There it is, plus 9,000. So you can get 90 to 1. Sprinkle a couple of shekels right there and take a flyer. Have you ever had the opportunity to play over in England, Scotland, taking a trip? I know it's a bucket list for a lot of golfers, but it's hard to when you're in the industry working every day, hard to get away.
Definitely a bucket list. I have not been over there, but would love to take a group someday. That'd be a really cool trip.
It'd be a really cool trip. And obviously, we have some link-style courses out here at Bandon, at Gamble Sands, and a few other places. When you are playing link-style golf, what do you have to most adjust for from playing a Parkland-style course or out here where, you know, it's fairly lush and green?
Yeah, it's find a way to keep the ball low. That wind's going to play a factor. And up around the greens, same thing. I mean, trying to hit that flop shot, just not going to work on those tight lies.
No, you're getting creative using and the pot bunkers are always the pot bunkers. What's the biggest issue? I mean, you just have to get out, right? Sometimes we see them play backwards. Just to get out so you have a second shot, and really avoiding the bunkers at all cost because they are truly penal over there on those link style courses.
Exactly. Yeah. The bunkers here in the United States are nothing compared to what the truly penal bunkers are over in Europe.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
It's going to cost you at least a stroke as we wrap things up here. Whoops, we got the wrong closeout music. That's for coming up. Sinner and Saint following us. Will Darkins is back. He will be in with Luke. Luke's going to recount his night. He opened for Jeremy Piven last night doing stand-up. So we'll get that whole story. We'll find out how the addition to the household for the Darkins family is. Kellen Saskin, head pro out here at Chehalem. Glenn, thank you so much. It's been a blast out here. We hope to be back every year. And come play down here. It's a great facility and a great value, and they truly appreciate the patronage down here. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Swag. Appreciate it.
There you go. Sinner and Saint is up next. We'll talk to you next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jason. Hit 'em straight.
You had him on Thursday on his knees.
Well, they always call Swag the reach around here.
Which five am I putting out to score?
Trying to make things a little less penal.
You know how easy I am.
Yeah, I know.
Features in Europe.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.